call down the thunder, well, now you got it.
In the turn three, Paris knocks on the door, looks to the inside. Chris Green hammers car 65 off turn four to take the checkered flag. Mitchell Paris second. Josh Harris, Showtime, Nathan Pierce, and Cookie Evans round out your top five.
Satterfield slips as well. Chapel gets loose off the corner. Satterfield goes by. Brandon Satterfield, your main event winner.
Higgins with the lead, heading, noses to the inside. He gets to the bumper. Higgins a little sideways. Here comes the catering. Kenneth Head, they'll go side by side into turn three. Luke Sorrow looking for room. Heading off turn four. Higgins gets sideways. They touch coming to the line. Oh my goodness.
He's looking now for the checkered flag, and it is in the air. Dustin Lightning Rod, your winner in Predator 350 over Bradley Gillespie, and the four of Ricky Bridgman will round out your top three here in Predator 350. And that will be a wrap on this main event here at Foothills Raceway.
No threat out back yet. Here comes Gray, slips it up high. Robinson will try for it. Into the side he goes. Lee Gray will win. Robinson slides up the track. Everybody scatters as Billy Rushton takes second, Dale Timms third, Jeff Crowder fourth, and the 18 of Justin Sims rounds out the top five.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Dropping the Hammer here on your podcast feeds. Alan Joey Ellis with you once again to recap the weekend that was at the Charlotte Roval, cutoff race for the Cup Series that turned out to be a little more chaotic than most people would have thought. But in the fact that it wasn't.
Yeah.
The most unexpected thing was that it was pretty much cut and dry for the first 98% of it.
Yep. The first stage was cautionless. The second stage was cautionless. Cautionless. Then on green flag run on the restart till five laps to go when a billboard's on the racetrack and the first caution of the day for first natural caution comes out. And we have the dive bombs into turn one that happen on the restart. Stack up, no caution there. But eventually Ty Dillon gets stuck in the grass, so we go to an overtime restart. And Christopher Bell had to win or else he'd be knocked out of the playoffs. It's a done. Oh, that probably saved this race.
Yeah, for real. And on top of that, maybe just as crazy, if not crazier, than Seabell getting his way into the postseason with a win. And yes, his first career win came on a road course, but traditionally speaking, not very good at them. But managed to be in the right place at the right time, get through the carnage. But what might be crazier was the situation with the five team throughout this race. Had a handling issue and a mechanical issue that they decided, all right, we're going to go park the car, we're going to fix it, get back on the track. Crew chief chiming over the radio, we are plenty good on points regardless. He was not correct.
Yeah. They had a toe link issue there. Daniel Suarez was driving around with no power steering for a while.
Like, so much so that you can literally hear him yelling in pain on the radio. But nothing else he could really do.
Ross Chastain also having issues here. And, you watch the final restart. You know, Kyle Larson's still 2 points ahead going into the final restart. And then Chase Briscoe gets the positions he needs. I will attest that he would have passed for the position he needed with or without Cole Custer's help, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a bit, the aftermath of that incident. But you saw a bunch of guys going for it right at the end. Ross Chastain really couldn't do anything. He was stuck in a position. The 99 was stuck in a position. The 5 was stuck in a position. Basically, it all came down to what the 2 and the 14 did. The 2, 14, and 20 did or didn't do. It was pretty much the 20 had to win regardless. So, if he finished the second, it doesn't matter. But the 2 team and the 14 team doing everything they can to get that final spot. Cindric had it. He just overdrove his way into the backstretch chicane, and that ended up being his undoing.
Yep. That's what you get with these final restarts sometimes.
And not to mention Tyler Reddick getting payback for Watkins Glen on Chase Elliott. After getting booted out in turn 6 at the Glen, he decided he wasn't going to get squeezed into the turn and sent the 9 spinning into the grass.
Yeah. That's really all you can say about this race.
Yep, the race happened. On the Xfinity side, interesting race, honestly, a much better race than the Cup race.
But the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
AJ Allmendinger winnable for the 4th year in a row in the Xfinity series.
He is 4-for-4 at the Roval. He has never lost here.
And it wasn't without adversity. It wasn't the best car on Saturday. And Ty Gibbs had a shot to win this. Others did too, but mainly Ty Gibbs was his main competition.
Yeah, just 3 consecutive restarts, tried to go after him, couldn't get him. Finally, the 16 jumped the 54 on one of them. And that was pretty much all she wrote on that. Allmendinger not the best car, as you said, but managed to get in victory lane for the 4th consecutive year at the Charlotte Roval. I had a good time with that one, and that set up after AJ's back-to-back wins heading into Vegas this weekend. Pretty good position. Healthy margin over the cut line, but obviously between Vegas, Homestead, and Martinsville, these guys are more or less going to have to win to ensure their spot regardless. So we'll see what happens going in with Gragson, Allmendinger, Gibbs, Allgaier, Barry Hill, Jones, and Mayer left to fight for the Xfinity crown.
And it's been a really fun playoff down on the Xfinity side. There's been a lot of interesting stuff happened. I mean, it's just been a fun season altogether on that series.
Yeah, and we used to make the comment all the time about how guys would drop down a level and just win all the races, so the younger guys, you really never got to show their shine. But with the 5 race rule, and a bunch of other things amongst that, only 3 races all year, and obviously it can't be going can't be that way going forward anyway. Only three races all year have been won by a Cup driver.
Yep.
Other...
Cole Custer won Auto Club, Josh Berry... Tyler Reddick won at Texas, and Kyle Larson won at Watkins Glen. That's all that all the Cup drivers have done in the Xfinity this year. It's refreshing to see it. Me personally, it's a weird thing to deal with because you don't want them there too much, but you like them there sometimes. Balance of the Xfinity series.
Yep, that's pretty much how it is. Formula One also in action. Max Verstappen snagging his 12th victory of the season. Four races to go. USA, Mexico, Brazil, and Abu Dhabi. To try and tie Schumacher's all-time mark of 13 wins in a season. It's looking very likely he can pull this off.
Yeah, and turns out to be a wet race. They start in the wet. Get the first couple laps done, but visibility is an issue. Grip's an issue. Red flag the race. Honestly, it was 1:30 in the morning, and I fell asleep before they got restarted, but. During the race, they were telling everyone that they weren't going to award full points, but they ended up awarding full points anyway. So Max Verstappen has clinched the world title again.
Even though they seemed confused that they thought they needed one more point. But at the end of the day... Verstappen is the champion once again.
Suzuka, that track that NASCAR randomly raced at in 1998.
That is true. Some other things wrapped up over the weekend. The Arca Menards series wrapped up their season. Congrats, Nick Sanchez. First full season, first title for the number two. Congrats to him. But not really the moment of the race. The moment of the race was... Sammy Smith bumping Grant Enfinger and Jesse Love out of the way to steal the victory, and they did not take kindly to that.
Yeah, it happens.
It's one of those interesting celebrations at the end where Sammy is celebrating, doing donuts and everything. The drivers he ticked off at the end at Toledo were sitting at the end of... They were sitting on the front straightaway, ready to yell at him. It was wild.
It's how you get in the ARCA series.
You gotta love ARCA. ARCA East and ARCA proper both done for the year. Still one more race or two more races left to have. Taylor Gray more than likely just gonna win all of them, to be honest with you. But the Star Nursery 150 at the Bull Ring at Las Vegas on October the 14th and November the 4th at Phoenix to wrap up the West season. So, Joey, that'll bring us in. News and notes of the week, as we always do. One of the bigger ones, Daniel Ricciardo has more or less outright admitted. He says, quote, "I think the reality is now I will not be on the grid in 2023.
Yeah. Which opens up the can of worms that we kind of predicted would happen, but RCR said they have agreed to release Tyler Reddick to start driving for 2311 next season, and he will be in the 45 car.
Yeah, and Kurt Busch announces his retirement to coincide with that. From full-time racing, he said, and I applaud the reasoning behind it, realizing Kurt only has 1 year left on his contract, but instead of playing will he, won't he be able to drive, he goes ahead, gets out of the seat, lets the new guy hop in, as quite obviously it seems like Richard Childress was not able to get the third charter anyway. But Reddick's going to be in the 45 next year. Kyle Busch is going to be in the 8. The 18 is open, but we all know who's going to take it. And we're just going to see how things play out in the future for all of those guys. Kurt Busch remains a brand ambassador for Monster, a technical consultant with 2311. Said that he may or may not join the booth for Fox as well. There's a whole lot on the table. Just happy for Kurt to have something to do and still be a part of the sport. He's not going to be going away anytime soon.
Yeah, Kurt's love for it's unfathomable. Like, he doesn't want to be away from the racetrack. He's always happy to be there. See him on the Truck Series races sometimes. He's a natural in the booth. He's really good at that.
Yep, I hope to see more of him. Also, over the weekend, the Bathurst 1000 got underway, and boy, that was a wild one. Very, very happy to see the race play out and just how exciting this event is. Even if you can only watch the highlights of the race, it's still super, super interesting. But Shane Van Gisbergen and Garth Tander get the victory at Mount Panorama, and it was fun to watch that battle right up until the final stretch. Over 6 hours and 41 minutes long, that race was decided by 1 second.
That's how racing be. As indeed how racing be.
Matt Weaver reports that Rick Hendrick and Jeff Gordon have given Kyle Larson approval to seek Indy 500 opportunities.
Kyle Busch has said for years he'd love to run the Indy 500, and a lot of us would love to see him do it.
Yeah, Busch as well has said that. So could you imagine Larson and Busch?
Yes.
Same Indy 500?
Kyle show.
Kyle and Kyle show? I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah. Not like Mike Joyce said it a couple times.
Only a few.
Yeah. Kyle Larson? I feel like he would do well there.
Also interesting bit of the Formula One event. Just honestly, let's just call it for what it is. The absolute disregard for safety by the track crew. Brutal conditions, cannot see. There's a tractor on the driving line. trying to get one of the cars out of the way in the rain. And it was there when the first car was going by. And you can see from the onboards that no one could see that.
Yeah, it's just a tough situation there.
It's a tough one. Also, of the weird things that happened towards the end of the Cup race, you mentioned, Joey, the 99 did not have power steering. He accidentally takes out the 7. The 7, obviously really not knowing the situation, dumps the 99 the next chance he got.
Oh, boy, that's just some fun there.
It was such a weird thing. But, Joey, I obviously got to talk about it. Cole Custer penalized for holding up the field to give Chase Briscoe the positions needed for the 14 to move in to the round of 8.
Yeah. NASCAR said that... NASCAR said they were reviewing that incident and that any penalties assessed would not affect the round of 8, even though they considered it to do so. But in the end, Cole Custer gets a tough penalty, in my opinion. It is what it is. Chase Briscoe still gets to continue on, run for the championship, at least for the round of 8. But, I don't know how to feel about it.
It's a brutal penalty. $100,000 to Custer and his crew chief, who was suspended indefinitely, 50 driver and 50 owner points for the 41. Which, the points don't really matter, considering they were super low in the points anyway. But I would beg the question, how is this any different? There are several incidents you can think of. We brought this one up before. Chase Elliott going out of his way to say he was going to help the 5 out by holding the 4 up at Bristol in 2021. Martinsville 2020, where the 20 team, driven by Eric Jones at the time, was specifically told not to pass Denny Hamlin because the way they were driving, the 4 car was out of the playoffs.
I just
don't know how any of those are any different.
Yeah. It's just... teammate's going to help a teammate out. Okay? If you're not going to penalize those other two, this one doesn't need to be penalized either. And Tony Stewart has a right to be angry because, you know, he's been penalized twice in the last 2 weeks. $100,000, and just Tony Stewart said that if he didn't have, like, you know, media stuff to do or whatever it was, sponsor appearances, he wouldn't be in another NASCAR race for the rest of the season.
And I don't blame him one bit. I don't blame him one bit for that. Noah Gragson announcing that he will drive the number 16, pardon my cheesesteak, Camaro ZL1 for Kaulig in the NASCAR Cup Series on October 30th at Martinsville. To which, that'll be interesting because Alex Bowman announced he's out for the next 3 races. So, should they keep this sponsorship, driver combo, and car combo? The 48 team is going to have to find a different sub-driver for Martinsville.
I say let's pick either Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon.
Sure, why not?
Might as well.
Bring in Jimmy. He could win it.
Literally could. It'd be his 10th Martinsville win if he won it.
Rockingham Speedway will begin a repave this month in hopes of attracting a series like NASCAR. Plans also call for adding lights, remodeling suites, and adding 5,000 seats.
And that's very good. Like, you know, the last year, or either earlier this year, there was a fund given to the motorsports stables of North Carolina for infrastructure and other upgrades. It was given North Wilkesboro, Charlotte Motor Speedway, and Rockingham Speedway. So, North Wilkesboro's, they're dive back into racing. It worked. They're going to have the All-Star Race and the Truck Series race next year. So, would you say, you know, you bring that kind of action to Rockingham, say, sometime next year, and you get the same results?
One would hope.
Because I think in 2024, Rockingham should replace Texas.
It should. So we'll see.
Please. And earlier this week, what's his name? Steve Phelps. Whatever. But said that the 2024 schedule is going to be, quote unquote, the most aggressive schedule we possibly ever had in terms of markets and new tracks and what and everything else. And he's also mentioned that New York City would be a market he'd love to have another street race. The Chicago street race is successful.
I think that'd be fantastic. Thing is, and I see why IndyCar was defensive about some of those decisions, because they were like, we're the American street race series, more or less. But they can't break into certain markets, like bigger markets. And we'll see if the Cup Series is successful in Chicago and pushing forward. Okay, Joey, that being said, obviously moving on, Las Vegas this weekend, round of 8 begins. And just some thoughts heading into the race out west.
My thoughts on the race heading out west. The hour and a halfs have been really fun to watch this year. You can say whatever about Alex Bowman backing into a win, as Kyle Busch said after the race in March. But the battle that Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. had during that race was incredible. There's a lot of good racing happening around. I know for people out in that area, it's still going to be hot because it's the desert, but at least in October, it's, you know,
not as bad.
Yeah, not as bad as the middle of September.
Yeah, that's fair. I think you hit the nail on the head. Those are going to be some fun. It's going to be some fun racing this weekend. Really excited to see what the next to last mile and a half is going to look like this season. And we'll see who can really put their best foot forward and clinch their spot into the championship for this weekend. That being said, Joey, 3 races to go, 8 drivers. Not only am I asking who's winning this weekend, but who are the 4 drivers that will be competing in Phoenix in a month?
All right. you look at the playoff standings, you got Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, Christopher Bell, Ryan Blaney, William Byron, Denny Hamlin, and Chase Briscoe. Round of eight contenders here. The four, I believe, that'll be at Phoenix. Chase Elliott. Ryan Blaney, I believe, will point his way there if he doesn't win. Denny Hamlin. And William Byron.
You're going to go with three of those four. I will point this out. Three of those four are behind the cut line to start the round of eight. So that should be fun. If I'm looking at purely who I think can win these races and point their way through, the Fords are super fast in Vegas. Give Joey Logano a shot there. Homestead has been great to two drivers, William Byron and Denny Hamlin. And then Martinsville would come down to probably Chase Elliott could get it done there. But I feel like in a he needs to win situation, Ryan Blaney could probably do it. So I'm going to go with the 22, 11, 24, and 12.
I like it.
I think Chase Elliott's the surprise miss.
And as far as the weekend in Vegas goes, said the Fords are fast, but this just seems like a day Tyler Reddick's going to come out and put on a show.
I mean, he seems to perform around early timed announcements. So we'll see what he can do. I think Logano's got this. I think the 22 is the first one to lock in his spot for the championship four. So with that, yep. So with that being said, that's it for this week. Only three races to go after this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how all that goes. So, Joey, thanks for hopping on with me, and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Building. Thank you and good night.